Hello, Hampton Roads BusinessJournal.com listener. I have the pleasure of bringing to you today an interview with Dawn Boyer of D. Boyer Consulting. How you doing, Dawn?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Rod.
Well, I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing your insight with Hampton Roads Business Journal listeners. Hey, let's get to know you here. First, I would like you to describe yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself because we'd like to get to know you. And then briefly describe your business.
Okay. Well, my name is Dawn Boyer, and I just recently added some initials at the end of my last name, a PhD.
That's right.
I graduated from Old Dominion University with a doctoral degree in philosophy in the education field. And when people ask me what was a PhD in, I tell them the short answer is education. The long answer is it's occupational and technical studies with a concentration on training and development within human resources.
Oh, that's mouthful.
Yeah, so I tell people usually it's the short answer. It's just easier to say a PhD in education. The business that I own is D. Boyer Consulting, and that is a consulting company that offers four main services to my clients. One of the first services that I offer is human resources consulting, and that comes from 22 years of experience in business as a mid-level or director-level human resources manager within commercial industry as well as the federal defense and defense contracting businesses, including SAIC, Northrop Grumman, Zell Technologies, and the Chenega Alaskan Native Corporation. I also offer, as part of my services under D. Boyer Consulting, resume writing services where people who are job seekers that are looking to get a more a tool that works better for them in their career search that is built on 21st century concepts versus 20th century concepts. Your mother and father's resume that they used to get a job back before the internet became prevalent in job searching can't be used in today's job market. So I have a lot of experience about how to write a resume so that it gets past the firewall and the software for the clients to get in front of the recruiter and headhunters. The third service that I provide from my consulting company is business consulting. For small businesses, I help them write business plans. I help them develop their social media. I help them put together a plan for marketing that will help them reach out and touch the target market that they're trying to seek. And to develop the business, not as a sales tool or an advertising tool, but as a business development tool. The fourth service that I offer to my clients are print-on-demand consulting services. A lot of people are interested or have written a book in their past, and they're ready to get it out to be printed or out on the market, but they just don't want to go through the multiple years of stress trying to find a publishing house and getting it accepted and getting it out there on Amazon.com when I can take the book that they have, make sure that it's edited and formatted for electronic as well as print version, and then essentially get it out on Amazon and or Kindle within a matter of weeks. And then they can do the marketing themselves, which is what the publishing company would make them do anyway, to get the sales going. So those four services is what I offer through D. Boyer Consulting.
Okay, great. Now that we've had a good chance to get a good idea of what your business entails, let's start the interview process. I always like to start with a success quote, kind of stimulate the minds of our listeners. Can you provide your favorite quote and let us know why it's so meaningful to you?
Okay. I can provide a quote, but it's more something that I've put together versus relying on somebody else who says something astute. what I would like to offer to your listeners is turn off the TV and get to work. Go to the library, go to the Small Business Administration, go to SCORE and use the mentorship program, read books, go to YouTube and find out what you need to know to get the knowledge you need to get ahead and stay there. So many people that I know keep dreaming about owning a business or going into business, but they're sitting in front of the TV or they're listening to music and doing nothing practical for hours on end, and those people will never get to where they want to go. So you need to turn off the distractions and get to work.
That's right. I try to tell my kids that all the time. We're going to start budgeting our TV time in the house. And I try to maximize my time, too. So if I'm driving from point A to point B, and you know how much we sit in traffic around here, I love listening to audiobooks because I don't always have the time to sit down and read a book, but I'm definitely going to have 30 minutes to listen. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many books you can go through if you're driving and listening or during your spare time or waiting for the kids' practice to end or all the things that we find ourselves in. It's amazing how much free time we actually have, and filling it here and there with activity that helps you grow your business is a great way. That's a great suggestion. Yeah. Okay, Dawn, most of us have them, not everybody, so we want to get to know you on the growth side. So we want to talk about a business failure. Now, it doesn't have to be a total collapse of a business empire, but we like to know about a business failure, a personal shortcoming, a major challenge that you faced. And you can identify it as something that provided you a significant learning experience that can be credited to helping you get to where you are today. Could you tell us that story?
Absolutely. I have one for you. I actually owned a business in Richmond for 6.5 years back in the mid-'80s. And it was called the Surrogate Mom Household Cleaning Service, where while I was working through my master's degree, I owned a maid service or a housekeeping or home cleaning service, and it was quite successful. And I started it by myself. I worked it by myself. I hired help when and if I needed it. And the last year I was in business, and of course this is in the 1980s, so just understand the comparable prices and dollar value, I ended up making close to $35,000 the last year I was in business. Plus, I sold it to another set of entrepreneurs who wanted to take what I had built and go with it when I moved out of the area when I got married. When I got to the Virginia Beach area, I decided that I thought, well, the business in Richmond was so successful, I'm going to start it up again here in Virginia Beach. You know, it's over an hour and a half, almost 2 hours away from Richmond, so there's no conflict of interest. And I was ready to rock the boat and get out there and really start the business up. Unfortunately, my spouse at the time did not have the same faith in me that I had in me and basically discouraged me from going into the business because he just didn't think there was a market out there. He didn't think I would be happy doing it that way, and he didn't think that I could make a successful go at it like I had in Richmond. I don't know where he got his intuitive thoughts from with such negative feelings, but what happened was I listened to somebody that I had a vested interest in this case it was my husband at the time, and he held me back from going out there and doing what I knew I could do because it was a viable proposition. It was feasible. I could make money at it because I'd already proved that I could do it. And because I listened to him, I ended up not doing it. And I was working for other people in other companies and other businesses for close to 15 years. And not really being totally happy with what I was doing because I listened to someone who just felt they knew better than me. So the moral of the story is even if someone who is close to you doesn't have faith in you or what you can do, but you truly know you can do it and what you're going to be doing is viable, it's feasible, it's financially practical, don't let that person hold you back. Because what could you have done if you had ignored their advice and gone on and done it anyway? Both of you would have benefited from it.
Yeah, and that's such a tough situation when it's so close to, as a spouse. But I agree with you 100%. We want to encourage our listeners to make up your mind, set your goals, and there's negative people out there that you just need to be deaf to. And if there's people who are giving you good advice, solid business advice, that's one thing. But just the negative, you can't, we've got to shield ourselves. And you can't always separate yourself from family and friends who are negative, but you can definitely put a deaf ear to them and keep on pushing. So that's a very tough situation that you found yourself in. But the true entrepreneur spirit fights its way out. So, okay, let's move on to our aha moment. I love this. There's so much insight you get out of aha moments. Can you briefly describe a moment in your career where the light bulb came on and the light shined bright and you knew you were right on the right track and everything was headed in the right direction? Can you tell us that story?
I certainly can. For me, it was figuring out where to network and do perform business development in the right place for the target market for my product or service. And I could give you a description of that aha moment when I came across or stumbled across the perfect marketing event that I actually attend on a regular basis now. Initially, I had started my business networking about 4 years ago, summer of 2009, and my main goal was to mostly market my husband's business, which is a carpet cleaning company. But then I decided that, you know, okay, now that I'm starting my own business, I need to toot my own little horn. Well, as I said before, one of my bread and butter services for my business is writing resumes for job and career shoppers or business owners who need to have a subject matter expertise background description or capability statement for their websites. And I realized that sometimes you can't just look at who's next to you or in your particular geographic area. Sometimes you have to go out of the area to get what you want to get. So I had been on a subscription list to a luncheon and a veterans resume distribution service for years as an HR manager. And I thought, wow, you know, if I could just get in front of this group of job seekers on a regular basis, I would have all kinds of resume clients. And so what I finally decided to do was to drive up to the Tysons Corner, Virginia area once a month or every 6 weeks whenever they have the luncheon and attend this luncheon meeting where there's approximately 100 to 150 job seekers and recruiters in one room where everybody can get up and do a two-minute elevator speech about their qualifications and their background and what they can do for the people who are looking for their skills in the room. And I got up the first luncheon, and of course, I'm the odd man out or the odd woman out for this particular luncheon because everybody else is either seeking a job or recruiting for a skilled job candidate. Well, I'm the person that's in between, and there was no other resume writer in the room. So when I stood up and said, I drove all the way up here from Virginia Beach, which is almost a four-hour drive, and I'm here to make your life easier because I can connect the job seeker to the recruiter with the best written resume on the planet, and I search engine optimize your resume with Black Hat program coding that nobody else on the world knows, then that got their attention. And then I ended it with, and if you need help getting introduced to people in the industry, I have over 8,100 connections on LinkedIn, If you need an introduction via this social media platform, I will be happy to push forward your introduction request. And there was an immediate buzz through the crowd. And I sat down, and everybody at my table turned to me and says, "Do you have a business card? Do you have a business card?" And then after the luncheon was over, a lot of people came up to me. They wanted my business card. They wanted to talk to me about the resumes. So the morale to the story, the moral to the story, or the end note, the aha moment for the story is essentially know where your target market is and try to get exposed to as many people in a short period of time within that target market as you possibly can, even if that means you have to physically go to the market to expose yourself and your services and your products to make them know you're there.
Wow, that's a great story, and it's a great summary, too, of that story. To do what you have to do to get in front of the right people, know who the right people are, and if you got to step outside that comfort zone, whether it's distance or the way you approach it, get out there and take the action and get in front of those people. That's a great story. Okay, Dawn, do you have an I made it moment, a moment where you said to yourself, take a deep breath and said, I've made it, I'm here, I've arrived. Have you had that moment? And if so, could you describe it for us?
Actually, I do. And it just happened recently to me, and it sort of gave me a warm, fuzzy feeling because of the way it happened. I had a client call me, and he actually indicated to me that he was calling from within the Pentagon at the moment. So he said, if I have to hang up the phone or if I have to excuse myself for a minute, please, you know, pardon my lapse of manners. And apparently his boss, who he described as a top-level Pentagon military services officer, probably a colonel or above, I'm not quite sure. Well, I don't think it was a four-star general. But his boss had given this client my name and my phone number and said, this gal knows her stuff. You need to call her now. You're going to be getting out of the military service soon, and you need a resume written that will get you the job that needs to be done. Call her. And the interesting thing about it was I did not know this colonel. So apparently word is getting around in the arena of where my target market is and where my forte is, which is the military service members coming out of service and transitioning into the real world and being able to interpret their military service on their resumes into a resume that is designed for not only the commercial world, but also for federal contracting, so that it's a achievements-based, metrics-supported capabilities resume instead of just a list of a job description that, of things that they have done or required to do while they were in the service. So for me, it seemed to be an aha moment when a high-ranking official at the Pentagon highly recommended me as one of the subject matter experts in my field.
That's a great story. That's a great. That's got to be a great feeling to get that approval, that nod, especially from someone who you haven't even met. Amazing.
Yes, and I have another story too. And this actually happened quite a little bit earlier in my business career. I had several connections on LinkedIn that were in the human resources and job search consulting field, and I had two of them call me up and ask me if they could interview me for quotes within the books that they were having published. So at this point, there are two books that are out there on the market where the subject matter experts themselves came to me for quotes and stories and little tidbits of expert advice so that they could include them in their books So that really made me feel as if, yeah, if they know me as a subject matter expert and they're a subject matter expert and they're seeking my advice to include in their books, then I really have gotten to the point where I have become a recognized subject matter expert.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Okay, we want to talk about your journey a little bit here, Dawn. Here at Hampton Roads Business Journal, we are trying to help small business owners on their journey to success. So one way we can do that is to let them know that they're not alone. Many of us have faced and are still facing dealing with similar challenges. Can you share with us a key point, maybe a turning point on your journey that has helped you get where you are today?
Absolutely. My advice to small business owners or entrepreneurs who are about ready to step out the door and down on the doorstep and walk down the sidewalk to own their own business is they need to keep in mind every new business venture is not an overnight success. I believe that the music industry says to become an overnight success, you have to be in the business for 20 years. It's a slow and painful process. You will have setbacks, and one of the most impactful setbacks that you're going to encounter are going to be finances. It is imperative that small business owners and business venturers understand it's going to take money to make money. If you start out on a business and you do not have the financial support to go forward and to take care of any unforeseen expenses, you will fail. You must have a financial plan, you must have a business plan, and you must have a marketing plan, all in place to succeed. Any entrepreneur or business owner that does not think about this ahead of time and plan for it ahead of time and have perhaps maybe 3 to 6 months of income as a cushion for the slow months when they first get started, they should not even start.
That's a great point. And so many people blindly go in with no guidance, with no roadmap, and find themselves lost. And somebody asked me today, even during one of my SCORE counseling sessions today, mentoring sessions, and he asked me, well, I looked at the stats, and everybody knows that a lot of small businesses fail, and why do they fail? And it just comes down to the plan. If you don't have a business plan, then you're out there lost without guidance. People who fail to plan to fail. It's just that simple. It's a very simple concept, but it's so often overlooked by small business owners. And I know you agree, we can't stress that enough. You've got to have a plan in place.
Yes.
Okay. Dawn, everybody knows I have a marketing background, and my current business is in marketing. So I would like to provide you an opportunity to market yourself and your business on our show. Please describe one of your business products or services that's really got you fired up, got your blood pumping, because you know it's going to be a great service to our local Hampton Roads businesses.
I certainly may. Like I've emphasized already before, one of the services that I provide to my clientele are writing or rewriting resumes. That is my bread and butter income, and it is one of the foundation stones, not only for people that are working for other companies, but also for entrepreneurs and business owners to have in place. In fact, that should be part of the business plan that they start in the beginning with to show what their capabilities are. The capability statements that are built into a very well-written resume are going to build on past achievements that the resume owner has performed in the past, and it's going to be supported by metrics, which means, let's suppose you're a marketing expert in the radio industry. You need to show how many clients you have in your portfolio. You need to show metrics such as what are the value of the contracts that you have sold to your portfolio of clients? What's the average contract worth? It is, the resume is one of the most important sales tool for any entrepreneur or business owner, because what it does is show the potential customers your experience as a business owner and an entrepreneur as a subject matter expert. Nobody is going to buy your services or your products just solely on the value of the service or the product itself. If you are a IT service person or a computer repair person, and you come to me and say, oh, I fix computers for a living, and I'm going, okay, that's really interesting, you and half a dozen other people that I know, show me what you got. Now, what I want to look at is your resume. I mean, how do I know you know how to fix a computer properly, correctly, safely, and with a good return on investment? I don't want to pay you $15 or $20 or $30 an hour if you don't know what you're doing, and it's going to take 8 hours for you to get through the repair. But if I see your resume on your website, or I see your resume when you show me your brochure on what you can do, and it shows that you've been working on computers for 20 years, and you have A-plus certifications, you know how to do cascading style sheets for and HTML coding for building websites, if you know all kinds of software programming so you can build a relational database for me, and it shows on your resume, then yes, I know you are the subject matter expert in what it is you're selling service or product-wise. If you build a better widget, then I want to see your engineering background to prove that you know what you're doing and why your better widget is going to work. So I would advise that if you are an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, or if you're in the top shelf of the management staff, executive staff within a corporation, within a business, whether you're sole proprietorship or a partnership or S-Corp with a board of directors and several CFO, CEO, and COO members, all of those people absolutely, positively need to have a well-written resume that they can use as a sales tool to show and demonstrate their subject matter expertise for what they do within the company or what they can provide to the client.
Okay, that's great. Okay, now it's time for the hot seat, Dawn. Welcome to this part of the episode where I fire quick questions at you and hope to receive your thought-provoking and valuable answers. So the first question is, best business book. Could you recommend a business book to our listeners? And if so, why?
Okay. Well, I'll have to confess, I don't read a lot of business books. After going through my PhD program for 4 years and reading and reading and reading textbooks and how-to books and things like that, I found they all seem to run together. But I'll give you an alternative. I do attend a lot of online webinar classes dealing with marketing and anything and everything to do with sales, marketing, advertising, creating business entities on social media platforms, how to beef up my sales on Facebook, how to develop more business on LinkedIn. And I watch a lot of how-to YouTube videos. What I have found is the people who are presenting those videos know that they usually have an hour or less to get their message across to their audience, so they have to get the gist of what it is they're trying to put across very quickly. I have found that attending these free online webinar classes, that, yeah, it takes up an hour of my day two or three times a week, but I'm always able to walk away with a little piece of golden nugget that I think I can apply to my own business, to my marketing processes, to my business development processes. So the return on investment for me is there versus taking 3 or 4 hours reading a business book on how to make more sales or how to you know, become a brilliant speech presenter on this, that, and the other, and hopefully get a lot of customers from that. I have found the online webinar classes and the YouTube videos are much quicker and answer a lot more questions that I just couldn't simply find quickly or easy in books.
Okay, that's great. Hey, Dawn, do you have any specific webinar classes that you could refer us to?
Well, you know, what usually happens is the people that are advertising the webinar classes, I may see them a little something on Facebook, or I'll be cruising along and my email, some junk mail comes in, and something, a word or two, catches my interest in the junk mail, and I follow through, sign up for the class, and attend it if it's convenient to me. They're out there all over the place, and a lot of them are presented by internet marketers. Mm-hmm. I would say it's very important to read through and review and analyze the website where the links take you to determine, first of all, is this going to be a waste of my time because all they're trying to do is sell me this $500 package that by the end of the webinar they're going to bring down to $99.99 because that's today's used car salesman pitch. Or if it really is something that might be of value, even if I'm just watching the free webinar. Mm-hmm. If you get to the internet site and all of a sudden it's just pure sale, 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 buyer program, buyer program, buyer program, then I'd say you might want to skip it. But if they say, we're going to reveal the top five secrets to getting more internet traffic to your website, then it might be worth the 1 hour or 50 minutes to attend the webinar and see what they're talking about, find the five secrets or listen for the five secrets they're trying to present to you, and then when they get to the sales pitch, our program will tell you how to do it, then shut the computer down at that time or the webinar down, and then just go to YouTube and Google on free how to do it through YouTube instead of having to spend the money. And you'd be amazed at how much of the freebie stuff is out there.
That sounds good. And one thing I will add, too, is while you were talking, I realized that SCORE is another good source of it. SCORE has free webinars that you can register mm-hmm. for, and it's great for business owners, and it covers all kinds of important topics for business owners. Okay, Dawn, next question. I'd like to look back at your path, at your journey again, and try to discuss what was holding you back from taking your business to the next level. I think you briefly described that earlier, but if there's more you'd like to add on that, or what do you see holds people back from getting their business to the next level or even starting a business, what would you like to share on that subject?
Well, for me, for what's holding me back from taking my business to the next level is I am a little bit of an OCD personality, and you sort of grow into that when you're earning your PhD. For me, there's a little bit of fear of hiring other people and delegating tasks that I know other people could do, but they just don't do it quite as good as I do. I love making sure that the final product that or service that I present to my customers are the best it absolutely positively can be. So sometimes I'm a little worried about delegating some work to other people because they just don't get it the way I get it. What I have done recently is I have found you can delegate some pieces and parts of the puzzle to somebody else to do. And in my case, when I have a resume client decide to purchase the services from me, there's some housekeeping on the resume that I have to do anyway. And I have actually taught a affiliate of mine, somebody that I used to work with in the human resources field in a previous company, how to do the housekeeping on the resume and get it formatted the way I want it to be done. And she can do it now. She's got it down to a science. So I do delegate that, and that frees up my time to do more of the services and products for the customers that are a little bit higher elevated, tasking. So that had been holding me back. And now the next step is for me to teach her some more things to do and share those tasking with her, because they are pretty basic and it's not that hard. It's not rocket science to do. It's just time consuming. And teaching and training them is time consuming. But once I get over that hurdle, you know, that will open me up with more time to service my clients and to market to new clients.
That's a great concern. I hear you. Okay. What's the best business advice you've ever been given?
The best that I've been given is, there's two bullets that I have to make a point about. The first one is, make sure you have the financial support in your pocket before you step out on your own or before you quit your day job. And I would advise 3 to 6 months of cash reserve. So if you're making $2,000 every 2 weeks, then I would make sure that for the next 6 months you have that amount of money in your savings account or in your checking account, so that you can focus on getting the business built without having to worry about paying your bills. And the second bullet is, don't start a business or rent the space to start a business in what may be potentially the slowest sales month of the year for the type of business you're in. For instance, if you're going to be going into a retail space to sell product to the public, don't do it in January or February, because the Christmas buying spree is over and done with, and now people are trying to pay off their credit cards for the expenses they piled up in November and December. So January and February are the worst months to try to open a retail business. On the other hand, if you are starting a physical training or exercise or spa or physical training gym, January and February are the best times of the year, because everybody's had their New Year's resolutions and want to start losing the weight and building up the muscle. Well, you don't do it in November and December, because nobody wants to go to the gym during the holidays. So do your research and make sure you know when the best time of the year is to start advertising and marketing and targeting your clients, because they're more open-minded to that product during that type of the year.
Okay, great. What is one action that our listeners can take in the next 24 hours to move their business forward to the next level and get one step closer to their goals?
Okay, the action that any business owner or entrepreneur can take, and this isn't just at the beginning of the business, it's not mid-level part of their business or after their business plan is printed and ready to go, it's research, research, research. And that's going to be on what the pain your potential clients need solved. In my case, job seekers are just not getting the communications from the recruiters and headhunters that want to call them for job. So I have to see, what is it my clients are going through? What kind of pain are they feeling? They're not getting the phone calls. So I have to show them either a presentation that wows them, or to explain to them or to educate them, this is what I'm going to do to alleviate your pain. So in my case, I provide on my business website some educational videos telling them what I'm going to do to their resume to make it a more marketable tool for their job search. For social media, I would tell them to go to the website or my LinkedIn profile or my Facebook business page and say, see what I've done with my website. Here's the way we're going to work it for your business, so that you don't feel the pain of nobody going to your site. We're going to entice the people in to look at your website. And, oh, while they're there, they can see the products and services. So you have to focus on what the pain is that your client is feeling or your potential customer is feeling, and educate them on how you're going to alleviate or do away with that pain for them with your services.
Okay.
And that takes a lot. It takes a lot of research. Which means that you have to listen to what they have to say. You can't be the one doing all the talking. You need to be doing the research, looking at what they're looking at, feeling what they're feeling, and figuring out what can you do to make things better for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an internet resource like an Evernote or Google Hangouts that you absolutely love and would like to share with our listeners?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. LinkedIn. It is the... Now, you knew that was coming.
I sure did.
It's the best business-to-business resource for business development that I've ever come across. Now, we're not talking about sales. We're talking about business development, developing relationships, building national and international relationships with people that might eventually down the road trust you enough to want to do business with you. They call me the LinkedIn queen here in the Hampton Roads, Virginia area, mostly because if you got a question about LinkedIn, I know the answer. I know how to manipulate it. I know how to use it. I know how to use all the pieces and parts. I know how to set the settings so that it's in the best interest of the user. I know how to market myself as a subject matter expert within the social media platform. And over the course of the last 5 years, I have achieved over six figures in revenue from my sourcing and business development on LinkedIn. I have been on the social platform since 2004. They released their beta version in spring of 2004, and I believe I joined it that summer, a few months afterward, and have been working it ever since. And it is, if you are an entrepreneur or a business owner that deals with business-to-business sales, you need to be there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, business is about relationships, and one strong way to help yourself stand out and get to the right places is LinkedIn. You can get to individuals with like-minded, business-minded people and interact with them online and establish relationships with them, and it can be just as valuable and profitable as a networking one-on-one face-to-face relationship. In fact,
yes.
Many times, even more effective.
Yes, and I actually provide LinkedIn training to folks that are in the Hampton Roads area. I call them my Powerball classes. They run for 4 hours, and by the time my students leave the class, their head is just full of wonderful ideas on what to do and how to do it and the reasoning behind what they need to do to reach out and get more. And one of my clients came back within 2 weeks after taking one of the advanced Powerball classes, and he basically said, oh, my gosh, I had no idea what you could do with LinkedIn, but I am doing it, and I am getting people calling me and talking to me and inquiring through LinkedIn in mail about my services, and I am working it, and I am getting there with what I have done. I can't believe I learned this much.
That's awesome. Okay, the big question of the interview. We're going to take you to a parallel universe, and you're going to wake up one morning, and everything is gone. Your food and lodging are taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. You have all the current knowledge that you have, and you have $500 and a laptop computer. How would you spend the first 7 days to get yourself back to where you are now?
Well, I would start immediately developing podcasts and videos and adding more graphics to my social media and my website to target my clients to grab their interest earlier in the sales process. When I first started my business, I knew that videos were good. I knew that podcasts were good, but I just didn't know how to do them. I think I would spend those 7 days learning quickly how to create podcasts and how to create videos, and get more graphics loaded onto my website for more and higher search engine optimization to my website, and to start linking the social media back to my website and my website to the social media to get more attention faster from my potential clients. So I'm assuming my laptop computer has a little camera in it that I can do video, and if I have to spend my $500 cash, I would get Camtasia and then make sure I have a good PowerPoint presentation software on my laptop computer and use those to the best of my ability to get the podcasts and the videos. Someone pointed out on one of the recent webcasts that I had attended that there are more users of podcasts than there are videos, and here's the reason why. A lot of people can't sit at a computer when they're busy to watch a video, so they would prefer to download podcasts with the same information that was going to be presented in the video and carry it with them and go jogging or plug it into the car so they can listen to it on the way to picking up the kids at school, or they're waiting in the waiting room at the doctor's office for 45 minutes. Wow, you can get through 2 20-minute podcasts in that time. So that really opened my eyes to the potential for increasing my exposure out there for advertising and marketing my business.
Hey, you're so right, and that's why you're on an interview. That's going to be a podcast. The trend, I do it all the time, audiobooks and podcasts of people that I learn from, and it's a great way to use that time in between events of your day, and I don't find that it's information overload. Some people may say, oh, this is too much, but you know what, we're stimulated. That's the world we're in. There's information around us 24/7, and you can either choose to soak it in or let it all go past you. And my preference is, instead of listening to the same song for the thousandth time, why don't I listen to an audiobook for the first or second time? And I find that my favorite podcast, I'll listen to them more than once because I'll retain more information and it'll refresh my memory. And I do take action. One of the criticisms podcasts get is that people listen to them when they can't take action. But if it rings true to you, you'll take the action. If you're motivated, if you're learning, just because it's in a book doesn't mean you're going to take action either. So I 100% agree that, or even a blog. Some bloggers say that podcasts, I think they're just jealous. And my recommendation for business owners, get into podcasting also, but there's no reason why you can't take that same information and repurpose it and put it on your blog and have different ways to reach people without causing yourself more work. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dawn, for being with us today. I appreciate you being on our show and sharing your experiences with us. Do you have any parting advice that you'd like to share with our listeners? And also, if you could let us know the best way to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. The first part, parting advice, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, I would emphasize to whoever is trying to go into business to stop trying to do everything yourself. Stop trying to develop your own website. You can't sell and produce all by yourself. You can't do the bookkeeping and the accounting while you're out selling. You need to hire others who are experts in what they do so you can concentrate on your own business development efforts. You know, get the answering service, get the accountant, get the bookkeeper, get the lawyer, get the website developer to do that for you so you can concentrate on providing your product and service at a higher return on investment, and stop trying to save money by doing it yourself. And the best way to reach me is you can send me an email at Dawn, Boyer at dboyerconsulting.com, or you can go to my website. I do have a contact form there. It's www.dboyerconsulting.com. Or if you wanted to, you can call me direct, area code 757-404-8300.
That's great, Dawn. Thanks a lot for being with us today. And Hampton Roads Business Journal listeners, have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.